Hello, everybody. This is Emily Young, and I'm here with Christine Habouche, who is the workshops coordinator for the 2006 Portland International Women's Day event entitled Embracing Self-Expression. It takes place this Sunday, March 5th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Portland State University Smith Center Ballroom, and that's at 1825 Southwest Broadway. Thanks for coming, Christine.
Thank you for having us.
Now, Christine, I understand that this would not have happened if not for you.
I think that might be an overstatement, but the entire event has been coordinated by an amazing, amazing panel of volunteers, and definitely without all of the hard work of a lot of people, this event would not have happened.
What are some of the workshops that will be at this International Women's Day?
Well, this year we're very, very lucky to have an array of workshops that I think a very large, diverse group of women and men will find very interesting. We have the Raging Grannies.
The Raging Grannies?
Yes, the Raging Grannies. Georgia Pinkle will be doing a lecture that tells us about the history of the Raging Grannies and their activism and their commitment to the community. We will have Inga Musio giving a lecture entitled Passive Violence, and she will address some obstacles maybe that are present within the feminist movement and within the community of women in ways that we can overcome these obstacles and become more unified and with an increased sense of solidarity.
When is that presentation, do you know?
Inga Musio will go on at 2:45, and that will go from 2:45 to 4 p.m.
And that'll be pretty easy to find if you make your way to the Smith Ballroom. I know that there's a lot of things going on. For instance, you'll walk around, you can maybe get a massage, you can, you know, sometimes get your hand henna'd. I know that that has been in the past. Mm-hmm. Different workshops like that. So is it going to be easy for us to find where the presentations will be?
It will be easy. Inga Musio's specific presentation will be in room 327, but everything will be very well labeled, and all of the room numbers and times are available on the website. So,
The website. That's right. I didn't mention it. It's www.piwd.org.
Right.
And the number to call is 503-516-6400, and I will give these out to the front desk when we're done.
Great.
But just back real briefly to Inga Musio. And the four-letter name of her book, which we won't say on the but those of you might have heard about it here at KBOO. And this is something, it's International Women's Day, but this is something you might want to drag the gentlemen in your life to, your boys, your sons, your brothers, your fathers.
Absolutely.
And your partners.
Absolutely.
I say drag.
They'll come willingly, hopefully. The entire event really is to, kind of show us and teach us and help us learn about all of our similarities and differences, not only, you know, just women, but women and their allies that support them in the feminist movement. So it's really quite important that men feel welcome as well, and we're trying our best to do that. And I do just want to mention that Inga Musio has another book called Autobiography of a Blue-Eyed Devil.
And we can say that one out loud.
Right. And she'll be doing book signings for both of those books at the event.
All right. And also you've got the Mountain Girls.
Yes, the Flat Mountain Girls will be performing. A wonderful bluegrass band. We also have DJ Anjali.
Oh, a KBOO programmer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Bhangra music.
Yes.
So that's incredibly fun dance music.
Yes.
This is going to be a fun International Women's Day.
It will be fun. We have a West African drumming group. We have the Aurora Chorus. And we have a Capoeira group that will be doing a demonstration. Gypsy Caravan, belly dancers.
Gypsy Caravan's always there. A staple.
Yes.
That should be good to get your allies in there as well.
Yes.
Grandma Zula's Legacy. This is a premiere of a documentary.
Yes.
By Julianne Johnson.
Yes, it is. And she will be telling the story of activism throughout the generations of her family, how it has been passed on from her great-grandmother to her grandmother to her mother to herself, specifically kind of focusing in on the 1940s to 1960s period here in Portland.
Is this the Julianne Johnson that we're familiar with? Is she a vocalist in town?
Yes.
All right. Incredible. And let's see, what else do we have here? What are some of, I've just totally skipped over the workshops. What are some more of the workshops?
Well, we have the Portland Central America Solidarity Committee, which we are very excited about. They will be talking about the fight for reproductive rights and economic justice, specifically within Venezuela, but in Latin America, kind of in general as well. We have a very exciting cycling panel. It's called Spokeswoman, A View from Two Wheels.
Isn't that cute?
Uh-huh. We'll be having representatives from the Bike Gallery, from the Community Cycling Center, and from Portland Department of Transportation. And they are all coming together to talk about obstacles that women may face when they're trying to enter or further themselves in the cycling community here in Portland. And then they will also be offering resources for overcoming those obstacles. We have J.J. Purcell, who is owner of the Herb Shop on East Burnside and 24th. It's a community-based bulk herb store, and she will be doing a lecture about how women can use herbs to self-express and to empower themselves.
Wow, and what we're talking about, just if you've just tuned in, is the 2006 Portland International Women's Day taking place this Sunday, March 5th, starting at 10 a.m., ending at 4. And you can find out more information by calling 503-516-6400 or visiting PIWD.org. That's PIWD. That's Portland International Women's Day, PIWD.org. And more about the workshops. I'm sure you haven't named them.
No, not nearly.
Is it possible that there's so much to do that you won't be able to get to do it all? I mean,
well, definitely people are going to have to make choices when they get there. Every hour and 15 minutes, there will be 2 to 3 different workshops to choose from, as well as the main entertainment stage. There will also be a health room, and there will be a women's words and art room that is hosted by, in other words, Feminist Bookstore on Williams and Killingsworth. And Marie Fleischman will be doing a creative writing workshop in there, which is really interesting. It's actually called From Page to Stage, and she will be teaching the participants creative writing, and then they will be performing their pieces. And for a lot of them, that will be their first time to perform. So it's exciting.
That is very exciting. Mm-hmm. Do you need to come prepared with anything, pen and paper?
Pen and paper, that's it. And, you know, if people forget, we will have that there as well.
So. Which might be a good idea anyway, because you're going to have to be jotting down all these notes about these wonderful things. What are some of the other workshops
right.
that are available?
Well, we have a panel of spiritualist leaders in Portland. So basically, we have representatives from Buddhism, from Earth-centered traditions, from Judaism, from Christianity, from Vaishnavism, and from Sufism. And these are all women who, you know, either lead a congregation or are just very active in their communities. And they will be talking on a panel about different rituals and self-expression mechanisms that women have within those somewhat traditional lineages, I guess you could call them. So,
just the other morning on talk radio here on KBOO, a woman called in and said that we lacked sisterhood in our communities, that we need to strengthen sisterhood in our communities, and that she felt that the Portland International Women's Day needed a boost. In what way can women volunteer like you did to help make Portland International Women's Day all it can be?
Well, in terms of day of volunteerism, there is definitely room for a lot more people.
Still, and I call the same number, 503-516-6400?
Yes.
Are there things to do for people who are other-abled, or?
Definitely. In terms that everything should be accessible for people maybe that are riding around in wheelchairs or other mechanisms. So we're trying to keep the event as accessible as possible. One unfortunate problem that we have run into is we have not been able to find an interpreter for sound to sign. Because this is an all-volunteer event, we're not able to pay anyone. And unfortunately, we haven't been able to find someone to volunteer. So if anyone out there listening wants to volunteer and do sound to sign interpretation, that would be fabulous.
So Portland International Women's Day this Sunday needs a sound to sign interpreter.
Yes.
And the number to call for that is 503-516-6400. It's Ursula Minizuski.
Yes.
Close enough, anyway. Ursula at 503-516-6400, and that's if you want to volunteer for the day of the event. And also if you'd like to put your name in to help organize for next year, because it probably starts the next day, doesn't it?
It does start just a couple of months after this event is over. We're going to try and regroup in the summertime. So if anyone is interested in helping out for the 2007 event, then that would be wonderful.
Well, there's that, and you'll probably still have cleanup and things like that, too.
Right,
I did cut you off again about some of the other workshops available this Sunday, March 5th, at Portland State University's Smith,
Smith
Center Ballroom. And the title of it is Embracing Self-Expression from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. What are some of the other workshops, and how does it encompass the embracing self-expression? We've got the writers.
Mm-hmm. We have the writers. We have Romaine Harris from Pottery for Peace. She will be doing a pottery demonstration, and participants in that workshop will actually be making some pottery pieces.
Are they going to be they can't possibly be firing them.
No, they won't be firing them at the event. But if you want to get it fired, then I'm sure you can talk to Romaine and she'll arrange that.
So a good place to network and meet other women, and
yes,
that can continues on after this day.
Yes, definitely.
So a good way to start forming those sisterhood bonds,
yes,
is to go out there and meet these gals, and that includes the I'm going to say it, pianist individuals, and bring them along and our allies.
Right.
And in addition to enjoying, of course, the belly dancing and
yes,
and the other things, the Inga Musico, that just sounds fascinating to me. And again, what time is she coming on?
She's coming on at 2:45. It will be in room 327. But again, there will be labeled doors and programs. I also just want to mention a couple of other things. We have Dr. Sarah Becker, who will be doing a presentation on the transsexual woman, and that should be very interesting for a lot of people.
What time is that?
That is at 10 a.m. in the morning.
So that's right at the beginning. So if
yes,
you want to catch that, you can get there a little early, park, and get in there.
Yes, and we also have Jay Fields, who will be doing a lecture on celebrating the seasons of self through self-generated ceremony. And so she will be talking about how to create your own ritual that is comfortable for you.
It sounds absolutely wonderful. Well, we're out of time, and I can't believe it. I'm going to give the number one more time. It's 503-516-6400. The website, again, is www.piwd.org. It's Portland International Women's Day. This is March 5th, 2006, starting at 10 a.m., going till 4 p.m., at Portland State University's Smith Ballroom. Christine Habush, thank you for coming today and speaking with KABU about Portland International Women's Day.
Hope to see you there.
Thank you.
There's gonna be a meeting in the air in that sweet, sweet by and by. Fearless David and his sling. You have meeting in the air.
That was the Flat Mountain Girls. You're listening to KBOO Portland. At 10:30 on Sounds of Awareness, the topic will be the psychological challenges of being the parent of a child with disabilities. And stay tuned at 11 for Democracy Now! With author and activist Arundhati Roy talking about Bush's visit to India, and activists review the response to Katrina disaster 6 months later. And right now we are going to hear two short interviews from the series Between the Lines.
On February 24th, the South Dakota legislature passed a bill that bans abortion in all cases except to save the life of the mother. Republican Governor Mike Rounds said he'll probably sign it. The law is a direct challenge not just to the Roe v. Wade U.S. Supreme Court ruling that legalized abortion in 1973, but to legal abortion itself. And that's the point. Lawmakers are counting on the measure if the governor signs it, ending up at the Supreme Court. There, they are hopeful of overturning Roe, since anti-abortion Justice Samuel Alito replaced Sandra Day O'Connor, a swing vote which usually sided with abortion protections. The right to abortion has been narrowed significantly over the 33 years since Roe v. Wade was decided. Restrictions have been imposed, including parental and spousal notification and prohibition of late-term abortions. This so-called partial birth abortion procedure is currently being reviewed by the Supreme Court, despite rulings from three separate appeals courts that banning the procedure is unconstitutional. Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhus spoke with Nancy Keenan, president of NARAL Pro-Choice America, about this latest attack on abortion rights, what her organization is doing about it, and why the issue goes beyond abortion to all women's reproductive rights.
The passage of this ban is really an outrageous attack on women's health and represents a monumental step backward for personal privacy. I mean, this would take us back to pre-Roe v. Wade. It could send doctors to prisons for doing what is in the best medical interest of their patients. And it flies in the face of our freedom as women in this country.
Legalized abortion has fueled the right wing for more than 30 years, and the right has succeeded in chipping away at the law so much that at this point, in many states, there may be just one abortion provider, which obviously makes a mockery of the right to choose. I've heard some feminists say that if Roe v. Wade were overturned, not only would it energize a whole generation or more of Americans who have taken this right for granted, but it could spur legislation that might provide more protection for women than having to depend on the goodwill of five Supreme Court justices.
Well, you have to look at the landscape and what's happening right now in the country. If Roe were overturned, it would go back to the states. That's correct. But we have 19 states right now that already have a ban on the books. So in 19 states in this country, you wouldn't even have a discussion. They have the ban. It's on the books. It's going to go into effect. The rest of the states, we have anti-choice governors, anti-choice legislatures. So what's the chance of us in an anti-choice state of being successful of retaining Roe's protections? That's going to be an uphill battle. Bottom line here, elections matter. Elections matter. And if when we elect these politicians that are anti-choice, because we don't ever think that they're going to take this freedom and this right to privacy away, my message across this country is elections matter.
You've painted with a pretty broad brush. There certainly are some states where abortion is legally protected and quite readily available.
The difference, like California and New York and some of these states that are more progressive, yeah, you might be able to access abortion care in those states, but what does it mean for a woman in rural America that would have to travel somewhere else? But what could happen in the next, let's just say in the next 2 years? The United States Congress, and signed by an anti-choice president, could pass an all-out ban. So whether you live in Connecticut, New York, or California, where you think you're protected and safe and will be able to continue to access abortion care, that may not be the case.
So, Nancy Keenan, how is NARAL focusing its opposition to these attacks?
NARAL's main focus is elections. We are the political arm of the pro-choice movement. And as we're looking at 06 elections in 06, and we're looking at elections in 08, we're going to do everything possible to start electing more pro-choice candidates. Our affiliates across the country, and there are 27 of them, they are looking at legislative seats and governor's races and attorney general races. Again, people don't always vote choice as their top issue. They vote security. They vote their health care. They vote economics, pocketbook issues. And so I think this is a wake-up call that there is more at risk when we vote for candidates who don't share our values of freedom and our values of privacy and our values of making a decision within our family and our doctor and our God, that those folks have to be called out on it, and they don't and should not be elected.
I live in Connecticut, and last year I did a series on the 40th anniversary of the Griswold v. Connecticut decision, the Supreme Court decision back in 1966 that legalized birth control for married women in Connecticut based on the right to privacy, and therefore paving the way 8 years later for the Roe v. Wade decision. And what I learned in doing lots of interviews is that if you scratch the surface of someone who's against abortion, you usually find someone who's also opposed to birth control. How does that figure into your strategy for fighting to protect women's reproductive rights?
You are exactly on the mark that this no longer is about abortion care. The hypocrisy of these people, that they also want to deny women their birth control. They deny trying to advance an agenda that has insurance pay for birth control, pays for Viagra, doesn't pay for birth control. They are advancing abstinence-only education. We all believe young people should be abstinent, but you also have to give them medically accurate sex education. They also, we've seen the politics around the FDA in the morning after pill, and now we're seeing anti-choice legislators pass pharmacy refusal bills, denying women their prescription drug because they have an issue with it. We could prevent unintended pregnancies in this country. If we would do that prevention work, we could reduce the need for abortion in this country. This group is no longer just about abortion care. It is about them wanting to control all of women's reproductive health because of their belief and imposing that, having politicians impose that on us.
That was Nancy Keenan, president of NARAL Pro-Choice America. Contact NARAL at area code 202-973-3000 or visit their website at www.prochoiceamerica.org.
I wanna talk.
And that was the Flat Mountain Girls. They're going to be playing at the Portland International Women's Festival. And during the segment on that festival, they gave out the wrong number. The correct number for the Portland International Women's Festival is 503-516-6440. That's 503-516-6440 for the Portland International Women's Festival information.
Time for KABU's Spring Membership Drive. If you're able to give a gift of at least $500, consider doubling your money by sponsoring a matching challenge pledge during the drive. You can offer to match every gift during the show of your choice up to the amount you choose. This is a great way to motivate others so we can reach our goal and wrap up the drive early. If you're interested, please contact KABU's Membership Coordinator. You can email membership@kabu.org or call 503-231-8032, extension 207.